Well, it's easy to say that God has a good plan and purpose for our lives when things are going well. But what about when we're in the fight of our lives and things are not going our way at all? What do we do then? How do we reconcile the goodness of God's purposes for all things with our current reality? Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today on our program, Rabbi Schneider is going to answer that question as he continues our study titled, Journeying Through the Book of Romans. If you'd like to download Rabbi's teaching notes, you'll find them online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But right now, let's get started. Here is Rabbi Schneider.
We're continuing our study in the book of Romans today, chapter 8, and I just got done last time talking about how Paul is explaining that even creation itself is groaning due to the power of sin. And Paul is talking about the fact that creation itself is longing for the day that God manifests His glory to the world at Yeshua's return. So listen what Paul says, for example, in verse 22 of chapter 8. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And so what he's saying is that even now, you look, for example, at the oceans, the pollution in the oceans with fish dying. You look at some of the things that are taking place in the ecology of the world and how things are out of balance, the massive amount of fires that are starting across the U.S. right now. Just there's disruption even in nature due to the power of sin. And somehow the earth itself is longing to be set free from the powers of corruption. They're somehow like a soul, not the type of soul that you and I have, but there's something similar to a soul, even within the earth, that's longing to be set free at Messiah's return. And Paul continues along this crying out of creation to be liberated in the Spirit at Yeshua's return when he says this in the 23rd verse. And not only this, but also we, you and I, ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit living in us, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. In other words, there's a longing that we have. And for many of us, the older we get biologically, the more we long for the redemption of our body. What Paul is talking about is that as we age, you know, we start to recognize the effects, obviously, that aging has had on our bodies. And the body, the Bible says, the body is wearing away. And so what Paul is saying is that we're longing for the redemption of our bodies when this mortal body will be done away with and will be given an immortal body. Will there be no more sickness and no more pain? This is our inheritance, beloved. We're waiting to be set free from the pain in our earthly bodies. You're going to be freed from all that. You're going to be given a new body at Yeshua's return. And this is what Paul is talking about here. This is the hope we have. And beloved, this is reality. This is reality. We are going to be free indeed. This is our victory, beloved. Keep on pressing on. Keep on fighting the good fight, for you have a glorious and future inheritance that's awaiting you. Paul continues on. For in hope, see, so what I'm talking about here is a hope. We're waiting for our bodies to be set free. We're waiting to enter into this reality that eye has not seen and ear has not heard because it's so glorious. Paul says in verse 24, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. What is Paul talking about here? He's talking about what we're doing is exercising hope. In other words, no one hopes for what they already have. Let me put it this way. Faith is for the present. Faith is for the now, but hope is for the future. Faith is the conviction of things hoped for, the scripture says. So Paul says a lot of our walking in the Spirit has to do with hope. The Bible says everything's going to wash away, everything else is going to fade away, but three things will endure: love, faith, and hope. Faith is exercising what is God's reality in the present. Jesus said, if you have faith and say to that mountain, be moved, and it'll be cast into the sea, it'll be done, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, some of you say, well, you know, I tried speaking to that mountain that I saw in Colorado, and when I said to that 10,000-foot mountain, be moved, it didn't go anywhere. And you're wondering, how does that work? But Jesus is using the mountain as a symbol. As you encounter obstacles in life, as you face those obstacles in faith, rejoicing continuously, having faith that God's going to get you through that mountain and over that mountain, it's going to be moved. It will. Faith is exercising your confidence in God's presence now. Hope is looking forward in anticipation towards something God is going to do in the future. And so what we just got done reading about, beloved one, is what God's going to be doing for us in the future. The inheritance that we're going to receive and the bodies that we're going to be given. And then Paul continues on. In the same way, in verse 26, he's switching subjects, but he's just talking about all that we have in Messiah. In the same way, you have this in Messiah, he says. The Spirit also helps our weakness. In other words, in addition to all these good things you have. God's a good God. I want that to just resonate with you for a moment. We're talking about, beloved, good things here. I mean, this is a good day. All the good things that God's done for you, how He loves you and I. He's made us His sons. He's given us an inheritance. This is a good God. All these good things, the destiny we have in Him, the future we have in Him. He's going before us, looking out for us, protecting us, working in our life. Then Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What's going on here? Paul is saying, as you're waiting for your inheritance, as you're waiting for the things that you're hoping for to materialize, as you're waiting to go to heaven, know this, Paul says. God's Spirit that lives inside you, He knows everything about you. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows everything that's going on in your body. He knows every little movement of your soul and of your makeup. And He's praying for you. God's Spirit that lives in us is so connected to us, so much loves us that He knows every one of our circumstances and is involved and knows what the outcome should be. He is interceding through us to the Father. You've got somebody that's always praying for you. And the one that's always praying for you, beloved ones, is the Spirit of Jesus that lives inside you. It's awesome to know that there are people praying for us, and we ought to pray for one another. But you know what's even more awesome? Even if there's nobody that's praying for you, God's Spirit who lives in you knows every single one of your needs, and He, beloved ones, is praying for you according to the will of God.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. But first, we wanted to share an exciting book announcement from Rabbi's wife, Cynthia, titled From Passover to Pentecost.
Get ready for a life-changing 50-day journey. You'll experience the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in Cynthia Schneider's new book, From Passover to Pentecost. Receive special treasures and riches from God that the Holy Spirit has downloaded into Cynthia throughout her life in this daily devotional that begins at Passover and ends at Pentecost. Old patterns of thinking and feelings will be transformed into thoughts and passions that release true hope, strength, and joy. Take the 50-day challenge from Passover to Pentecost. Order your copy. Visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call 800-359-6208.
I believe this 50-day devotional is really going to encourage you and empower your relationship with the Lord. Just visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com, get your copy today, and now back to Rabbi.
Let's continue on. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, let me make a comment. Romans 8:28. This is possibly one of the top 10 most familiar passages in the New Testament. And even people that don't believe in the New Testament have a mantra where they quote something like this. Oh, it all works out for the good. There's a plan for all this. But sometimes we miss the point. The point is not simply that God causes all things to work to good, and we leave it at that. There's more to what God means here. So let's read Romans 8:28, which I just read, but let's read it in conjunction with the next verse, because the next verse explains what the Lord means here. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. What is the Lord saying here? He's saying every single thing that you and I go through in life, externally in our circumstances, in the realm of spiritual warfare, in the realm of relationships, even what we experience in our body, the Bible says God's causing all that to work for good. And what is the good that he's causing it to work towards? He names it in verse 29, that we would be conformed to the image of his son. Listen again. I want you, as I read it again, I want you to listen how Romans 8:28, that God causes all things to work together for good. I want you to understand that when the Lord said that, he doesn't mean that, you know, for example, if you lost, let's say, your favorite necklace, if you're a woman, that God's going to replace it with an even better necklace. He might do that, but maybe the necklace that you lost was, you know, something that had been in the family for years and it really can't be replaced. So what does the Lord mean when he says God causes all things to work together for good? What the Lord means is that he's going to somehow use that loss that you experienced through the loss of that necklace to bring you closer to him, to bring you into deeper connection with his heart and with his call upon your life, so that your loss of that necklace, although painful, God's going to use it for good to make you understand that at the end of the day, he's your only source. He's your true family, and he's the only one that's permanent. So listen again as I read Romans 8:28, 8:29 in context. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, notice how what I'm reading now connects to him causing everything to work together for good. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, he planned in advance, he predetermined. Those whom he foreknew, what do we mean by foreknew here? It means he foreloved you. He knew you in advance in an intimate way. Jeremiah said he was chosen from his mother's womb. We read in the Hebrew Bible that when a man married his wife, they had intimate sexual relations, and the Bible says, and he knew her. So the Bible says that when you and I are foreknown, when God foreknew us, it means he knew us intimately, even before the foundation of the world. He chose us, according to Ephesians 1, and foreknew us intimately in him before the foundation of the world. So once again, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So Paul was speaking, those of us that were foreknown, chosen in Jesus by the Father before the foundation of the world, predestined to be his, even before we were born. God says, everything, beloved ones, that happens to us in our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God is using it all to move us towards His destiny for us, which is to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, the beautiful thing is nothing is wasted in our lives. Nothing is ever wasted. Sometimes we experience things and we think they're just like a total loss. We think, I really missed it. But you know what the beautiful news of the gospel is? Nothing in our life is wasted. Not a second, not a moment. Because God can take all of it, redeeming it, to move us forward in His purpose. He transforms everything that we go through to be used for His purpose, to conform us to the image of Jesus. And that's what our destiny is, beloved, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Listen again. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what it's like to be conformed to the image of Jesus? You are completely, beloved, separated from everything that would disturb you. To be conformed to the image of His Son means to live in perfect harmony with God. This is where we're going. It means that nothing will shake our peace, that we'll walk in perfect unity and harmony with the Father, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart will always be pleasing to Him, that we're so innocent, so childlike, so powerful, so free, so complete, so satisfied. I mean, it's beyond anything that we can comprehend. This is who we are, beloved, and this is where we're going. Paul continues on and he says this, whom He predestined, He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. There's a progression here. Paul begins by saying, those who are called according to His purpose. So Paul says is that you and I that are called according to His purpose were predestined. Okay, so verse number 28 speaks about our being called. And then verse number 30 says that those whom He called, He also predestined. These whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. So God chose us in advance. And because He chose us in advance, He called us and predestined us to Himself. He brought us to Himself and then justified us through the shed blood of Jesus. And then He glorified us in His Son. This is all the working and the doing of God, lest no man should boast. This is all about the grace of God, beloved, operating in your life and my life. Because from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. And the only response left for you and I is to fall on our knees, to receive it, and to say, thank You. Father, we love You today. Father, thank You for all these things. Thank You for being our daddy. Thank You that our salvation is secure in You. Father, thank You that You said You complete the work that You began in our lives and conform us to the image of Your Son. Father, we give You our lives right now. We open up our hearts to You and we say, King Jesus, have Your way and be the Lord in and through our lives.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and our Bible teacher is Rabbi Schneider, and we've been talking about God's purpose for all things. And if you'd like to listen to this message again, or if you'd like to share it with a friend, let me invite you to visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And while you're on our website, be sure to check out our latest resources and study guides. We've got lots of messianic content, articles, and inspirational letters from Rabbi's wife, Cynthia, that are designed to encourage you and equip you in your walk with the Lord. You'll even find ways to partner with us this year.
Shalom, beloved, and I hope this brings you joy. When you send in your tithe to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, your church, or wherever you're sending it to, you're not just sending your tithe to that ministry. What you're actually doing, beloved, is sending your tithe unto the Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, that when we present our tithe to the Lord, we're presenting it to the one, beloved, Jesus Christ the righteous, who lives. I want you to know, beloved, take joy when you send in your tithes and offerings, because what you're actually doing is sending your offering, lifting up your tithe and giving it to Jesus himself. I want you to know I love you today. I want to ask you to be faithful with your finances to the Lord. And if this ministry is blessing you, I want to ask you to do it through this ministry. God bless you and shalom.
Well, at the very core of everything that we do and that we'll continue to do is our commitment to teach biblical truth. Rabbi's unique insights into the Old and New Testaments, they bring clarity to God's Word and to the understanding that there is no other way, no other truth, and no other means to get to the Father but through His Son, Yeshua Jesus. And if you can give a gift to support us today, call 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or you can send your financial donation in the mail when you address your envelope to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. Again, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. You can also automate your giving online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. It's because of your faithful giving that we at Discovering the Jewish Jesus are able to broadcast in almost 200 countries all around the world, including Israel. And as a token of our appreciation for your generosity, we'll send you a select audio CD of Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month that's also available as a download. And then for our new monthly partners, we have an additional token of appreciation, an authentic handcrafted shofar that's made in Israel. This beautiful instrument comes with a rich wooden display holder and a plaque that reads, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come." God wants us to come to Him, and it should be our passion and desire to want others to follow along too. Sign up at our web address at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Now here is Rabbi.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over His people. And the Lord said, "When you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them." Receive the impartation of the Lord's blessings. Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha vihunecha Yisa Yahweh panav elecha ve'asem lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up by His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us next time when Rabbi Schneider reveals why the Hebrew Bible matters to us today. Learn more Friday here on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.